This is Jay Sekulow, breaking news. Senator Graham to issue a resolution condemning the House Democrats' process on impeachment.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Hey, we've got some big news. That is, our friend Senator Lindsey Graham is planning to introduce a resolution which is going to condemn the House Democrats for the way they have conducted the impeachment inquiry. The resolution puts the Senate on record when introduced and passed. Condemning what the House has done. The point of the resolution is that any vote on impeachment must be based on a process that is legitimate. This one is illegitimate. And by the way, I've certainly said that, and that is my view. Let me say this. This, I know you talked about the other day, but this is the basis of an impeachment? This is what Nancy Pelosi is putting forward to impeach the President of the United States.
For our radio listeners, let me tell you, kind of explain this to you. It is four pages with a lot of different size text, mostly large text. They include in the page count of four pages of why to impeach the president, the cover page, which is just a truth exposed in a giant picture of President Trump. No actual substance there. So it's actually like 2.5 pages. And if you actually use regular font, which you would if it was an actual document, like Times New Roman 12, this would probably fit in 3/4 of a page, maybe a page. And this is how this is your articles of impeachment. This is your basis for impeachment. And again, I want to remind people, this didn't come from her campaign or like the Democratic Congressional Committee. This came out officially from the Speaker of the House's office. It's why what Senator Graham is proposing is the right thing to do, because Dad, we have this idea that, and some others have postulated this as well, that the House Democrats know they can't. They may not even have the votes to impeach. But they really, even if they do, once they take that action, it's then under the control of Republicans. They have no more investigative power anymore.
So here's what and of course there's no investigative power right now. The minority's been given.
But they don't even get to act like they do.
Exactly. So minority here is given no rights, zero. I mean, nothing. So, Than, what is your sense of what happens here? I look at this document, Truth Exposed, and you think this is like from the amateur hour.
Yeah, I mean, I said this yesterday, Jay. The transcript that much of this is based on is longer than that strategy document. That tells you just how much strategy they have inside it. But look, I think what Lindsey Graham is doing is the right thing at this point. I mean, certainly the Senate has a constitutional role in this, but that role kicks in after the House has done theirs, Jay. And just to add to sort of the list that you were talking about with Jordan about the lack of minority rights, at this point, the minority, Jay, does not even have access to a transcript of the depositions
Correct.
That are being placed. They have to go view it
with a monitor. I mean, this is how absurd this is. Right.
Well, I was just going to say, think about that for a second. Not only do they have to go to a secure place, Jay, they really have to be babysat by a Democrat staffer while they read it. Mind you, they are the ones with the constitutional authority to do this process. But a staffer who nobody elected has to babysit them while they review those transcripts.
You would have more constitutional rights applied in a parking ticket case in a municipal court than you would in the impeachment proceeding or whatever they call this that the Democrats are engaged in right now. Now, there's another aspect of this, of course, and that's this. It doesn't just affect this president. It affects the future presidencies as well. Why is that? Because these things become precedent. Everybody looks back, they look at the Clinton precedent. They look at what happened in these various, they're going all the way back to the first impeachments. I mean, so here's the problem. When you deny fundamental due process, the American people understand what you're doing. It's political theater. And that's what this is. This is political theater. So understand what's at play here. Political theater. And you don't give credence to that kind of nonsense. And the fundamental denial of due process here, in my mind, without question, violates the Constitution of the United States. All right, we're taking your calls on all of this. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, your support of the American Center for Law and Justice keeps our legal teams around the globe engaged. We're going to have an update in the third segment of the broadcast about some international cases of the ACLJ. So you want to stay tuned for that. Again, if you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life. Standing up for our good friend Israel. Working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington. Battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world. And a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Well, it's, let me tell you something. The phone lines are jammed. Comments are coming in on Facebook and Periscope, and this is a big issue. So Lindsey Graham is planning on introducing a resolution condemning House Democrats' impeachment inquiry process and argue that any articles should be dismissed in the Senate without a trial. Now, Andy, I just said that if you had a parking ticket in a municipal court, you would have more due process than the President of the United States is getting in this impeachment inquiry. Well, not proceeding.
The president is getting no due process whatsoever. The Constitution gives it to the least of these, my brethren, and is giving it none whatsoever to the president of the United States. As you said, you watch, you go to a traffic court in a city, at least you know what the accusation is, you know who the accuser is, you know what the date, time, and place of the offense is, and you have an opportunity to respond. All this is being done behind closed doors, secretly, undercover, surreptitiously, no due process whatsoever at all.
And Harry, I'm talking about, I just mentioned a little bit of a policy issue, and that is this doesn't just affect this president. These proceedings become precedent for future proceedings if they ever were to arise again. So we look back now at proceedings in the Nixon era and before the initial impeachment proceeding of the presidents. And you look at the Clinton proceeding. So all of these have consequential precedent, and if you set up the wrong precedent, it's very dangerous for the Constitution.
You're absolutely correct, and I think it is clear that the President of the United States, under any rational interpretation of Anglo-American jurisprudence, has the right to confront his accuser. Secondarily, it is clear beyond question that the testimony of the accusers do not merit any consequential support unless the accusers can withstand something which is equally fundamental, and that is cross-examination. And I think it is clear beyond question that the Democrats do not want a cross-examination to occur, in part because they have a predetermined narrative that they seek to support.
So we got an interesting comment came in on Facebook. And by the way, we take your calls at 800-684-3110 and Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, however you're watching us. Lynn said this, Jay, are they trying to impeach the president because they know they can't win an election? So here's what I want to go to Jordan Than with. So reports came out yesterday, I think it was in the Washington Post or New York Times, that there's concern among the Democrats that they don't have a candidate that can beat President Trump.
Right.
Then at the same time, I am convinced that they do not have the votes for an impeachment proceeding, and that's why they haven't done it. So what they're going to do is investigate for the next 4 to 6 months, and they say, oh, we'll lay this in front of the American people. This is, you know, we'll give the evidence, but then they'll make a decision in the election. There'll be no impeachment. That's how I think this thing ends up. Now, But it's interesting that you started seeing articles just yesterday about Democratic concern that they have a problem in the upcoming election. I'll go to Jordan first, then Fan. Jordan.
Well, I've said this all along. When you watch those Democrat debates, can you imagine a single one of those candidates convincing enough Americans to defeat Donald Trump? I can't. And I'm trying to look at it even as an outside observer, someone who is a conservative. I just don't see any of them. Joe Biden seems like he doesn't know where he is half the time. Bernie Sanders is way too far to the left. So is Elizabeth Warren. And no one else is rising to the top.
Does anybody else come in?
I mean,
there's all this Hillary Clinton chatter, but
please.
I think with the Tulsi Gabbard stuff, I can't imagine.
Hillary Clinton comes in, and you know what? How Donald Trump wins? He wins by 25 to 30 more electoral votes. I mean,
yes.
she is not the choice of where the Democrats want to go. They want to go towards Elizabeth Warren, you know, but that may
so
mean that means a loss.
So then how do you see it playing out?
That election's a year away, Jay. If they thought they were going to win that election, they would not be doing this. They're doing this because they don't think they can win that election. And by the way, if it does come to a vote, you said in 4 months, 8 months away? If they thought they were going
to
win an election in 8 months, would they be voting to impeach
the president? And I think here's what happens. I think this is what's going to happen. Look, this is just my theory. Andy and I have been practicing law together a long time, so I have theories. He knows that. I do that theories with the Supreme Court case. We've been pretty successful on these theories.
Pretty good.
Here's my theory in this one. And my theory in the Bob Mueller case tend to be pretty good. Pretty good. Looking at this, I'm looking at the evidence that's coming. So everybody's making a big deal that Ambassador Taylor testified yesterday and he contradicted something that Professor Sondland said. Okay. Ambassador Sondland said. So here's the issue. That's a credibility issue. Except Sondland was the one who had the conversations. And this was Taylor's view of the conversations that Sondland has. Andy, we would call that double hearsay.
Hearsay. Inadmissible in court, should not be admissible in Congress.
This is his impressions. So we have impressions and anonymous. So we're gonna have an impeachment proceeding by anonymous, and we're gonna have an impeachment proceeding based on this. So here's what they do. This is my theory, Stan. I may be wrong on this. They're going to have hearings. They're going to continue to try to have hearings. And they're going to say you cannot have an impeachment proceeding in March of 2020. I don't think the American people would tolerate it. So I think what they say is we're going to continue to investigate this president and we're going to lay this evidence out before the American people. That's my view. You've served in Capitol Hill for two decades. What do you think? Is that possible? I think that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. It's definitely possible, Jay. It's certainly valid. I think if it's based on the merits, that is certainly where we will end up. Here's my one problem with it, and I've said this to you before, yep. Jay. You know this. When Nancy Pelosi announced this inquiry, she did it without ever looking at the evidence. So in order to change her mind, she's actually going to have to care about what the evidence says. If she does care about the evidence, I think I'll end up where you say. I'm just not convinced that she's going to look at it. We'll see.
But here's the question I have. Why, if they had the votes, why, Harry, would they not do it?
Well,
if you had the votes, you would make some of their cases a little bit easy. I think they still have horrible burns they couldn't get over. But why wouldn't they do it?
Very good question. I think they don't have the votes. They didn't have the votes. However, they have some trust and some confidence that Adam Schiff can concoct evidence. Adam Schiff, keep in mind, initially wanted to rely on the whistleblower.
Whistleblower number one. Not hearing a lot from whistleblower number one.
Now he agrees with President Trump that the transcript is the best evidence of what went on. But even though Adam Smith has at least agreed to that, he is now prepared to further embellish, if you will, the evidence.
Well, he did when he did that fake transcript that he read.
But it's also important to keep in mind that Adam Schiff was damaged from the get-go, in part because he lied about not having contact with the whistleblower.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the reasons why he doesn't want to introduce testimony from the whistleblower, because then the whistleblower might have to face some very difficult questions.
Well, I'd like to, you know,
how long a conversation did you have with Adam Schiff?
Yeah, do I get to? I mean, at some point, I would think, Andy, you and I've tried cases together. I would think at some point I get to ask a question or two, but under the existing House rules, I sure don't.
No, and I think it's an outrage that you don't have the right.
The members can't even get into the proceedings.
The president,
review the transcripts themselves.
The president of the United States does not have the right to confront his accusers. I mean, this is just it's so basically constitutional that you have the right to confront the people that are accusing you that it doesn't, you know, it doesn't need much more than just a first-year constitutional law course to tell you that, and it's not being afforded to this president.
All right, we're going to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Let's go to line two, Jordan. Let's take number two.
Yeah, first. Brent in Virginia on line two. Brent, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You are on the air.
Hi, Brent.
Hey, gentlemen, I just had a question. Something's kind of been bothering me here for a while. I'm trying to figure out why all the major news networks, and it includes Fox, too, are reporting on the testimony that's being given supposedly when all we know is what the Democrats are leaking.
I'm sorry, we're having trouble hearing you. Say that again?
Why are the networks reporting?
Okay, I think what you said was that why is this all leaking? Welcome to Washington, D.C. Look, I think did Taylor's statement get publicly released then? I mean, it's out there.
Not officially. It certainly is out there. I think this is the caller's point, because you have seen people like Congressman Jordan come to the microphone and say, look, by the rules, I'm not allowed to talk about this. But Adam Schiff has come out and talked to the media several times in the middle of the deposition, and then documents get leaked. So I actually think the caller's got a good point. They release and leak the stuff that is favorable to them, and then they put rules on the rest of the committee that says you can't talk about what happens behind closed doors.
I go back to what's the constitutional violation with this testimony. I mean, the violation of due process is unprecedented. The constitutional, oath of office, they say the president's abuse of power by doing what? I mean, even if you took this guy's testimony as what it was, first of all, that's his view of a conversation he wasn't involved in. I mean, I still don't understand how that plays, in the body politic. And that's why I don't think you see an impeachment hearing. Now, could I be wrong? Sure. But then there have to be a hearing. And these witnesses, you cannot bring an impeachment article without the witness testifying.
I said, the president tweeted out this morning, where's the whistleblower? This is before his press conference on Syria and everything. And I commented back to that with the retweet. I wrote my prediction that there was no whistleblower, just Schiff and his staff writing anti-Trump deep staters complaint for them with bad info based on hearsay.
I think that's actually quite I think your retweet or tweet, whatever the response was there, is correct. And I think we're going to talk more about it. Hey, coming up, here's what's interesting. Coming up, we're going to give you an update on a couple of our international cases. Some big news on that. Phone lines have cleared up for you. We've been screening calls out. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget to support the work of the American Center for Law and Justice at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Now, we've got comments that's coming in from Senator Graham we're going to play. We've got your questions at 800-684-3110. What do you think of this process so far? What's your reaction to all of this? We got an update on some two international cases, big news, and we'll get right back to these other topics as well. 1-800-684-3110. Stay tuned. A lot more ahead. Support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back. We're going to take a divergence from domestic matters and take a look at an international matter. Two of them, actually, two cases of the ACLJ. CeCe Hiles with us here, and I want to go right to the case involving Pastor Saw. Pastor Saw has been in jail now in China, CeCe, for how long?
Over 2.5 years, since March 5th of 2017.
Yeah, so 2.5 years. We've been representing from the family for
about a year.
About a year now. And look, these are very, as you know from Pastor Brunson's case, these are sensitive, they're complicated. And you've got to be aggressive in your advocacy to keep these people alive. The job one, our job, is always to keep the individual alive and then work on the release. But you got to keep them alive. And that's what you keep it in the press, keep public attention to it. Now, we just had, and we use international tribunals for this. You just had a major win for Pastor Saw in an international tribunal that really matters. So this is a big win on this particular matter. Doesn't get him out of jail, but it certainly puts pressure on China.
We did. We filed a complaint with the United Nations Working Group on Arbitrary Detention earlier this year. And during their session, they agreed with us. They condemned the arbitrary detention of Pastor Saw. And they urged in this opinion about his immediate release, that China should immediately release him.
So they say he's unjustly being held.
Absolutely.
What was their conclusion?
Yes. So they said, taking into account all the circumstances of the case, the appropriate remedy would be to release Mr. Saw immediately and accord him an enforceable right to compensation and other reparations in accordance with international law.
So they think he should be entitled to compensation for his wrongful imprisonment. Then how important is it for that to get that determination from the UN arbitrary detention group?
Yeah, that's what I really wanted people to understand, Jay, because as listeners of this broadcast know, the United Nations is anything but a standard bearer on human rights. Now, I will say this particular working group has done good work in the past, but when the United Nations, Jay, concludes that a particular detention is a wrongful detention, there's only one conclusion. It was a wrongful detention because they are not quick to get there. So what it does, Jay, both domestically and abroad, it says to the rest of the world that there is only one outcome that is just here, and that is what CeCe just said, the immediate release of Pastor Saw and his return home.
So Harry, from a looking again, I always like to go to you on the policy perspective here. These cases are very complicated and they're very sensitive because you've got someone that's literally in a life and death situation. But even with the problems you have at the UN, and we have many, but that's the reason why we engage the UN, getting the UN group here, the arbitrary detention group that focuses on this, to come out in our favor is a really big deal.
Absolutely. And so I think it's also important to often keep in mind the distinction between working groups and many of the nations who are on the UN Human Rights Council, many of whom are human rights abusers, such as Venezuela, Sudan, Libya, you name it. So this is still a very, very important development. And I think to the extent that China wants to maintain its international standing, it should recognize this decision and it should comply with this decision and it should comply expeditiously.
So, and it's an interesting issue because with China right now, tension, you know, there's trade tensions with China. So this is not just, you know, pick up the phone to get the guy released. The pastor, but he's been in jail now for over 2 years. So you're sensitive to the issues that are existing. But the goal is always to keep the individual alive.
That's
because
right.
These are very, we had this with Brunson. These are very difficult detention situations.
Well, the Chinese situation is ameliorating, as we know, in the step-by-step action that the president has taken with the trade talks. And I think, Jay, and my aspiration is that that's going to hold over and have an effect on Pastor Shao. But it is a step-by-step situation. And as you said, the important thing is to keep him alive, keep him in good health until the day that he can be released. And we are working in that direction. I think what Than said with respect to the United Nations is true. The United Nations is largely an ineffective organization, but if it makes a statement that somebody is being illegally withheld, then you can bet that that's in fact the case.
All right, so CeCe, we've got a second case. We have more than two cases, but we've got a new one also.
Right.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Okay, so Pastor Naren is a pastor in Tennessee who's been doing mission work in Asia, especially in Nepal and India, for the past 17 years, going on trips, you know, two or three times a year. He was detained and arrested on October 5th and put in jail, yes. And we did push, talk to the State Department and push for his release. He was released. This is another good win. He was in jail for 6 days, but we got a bail hearing, and he is out on bail. But he is still—
he cannot leave.
He cannot leave. They retained his passport, and they put a travel ban on, so he's basically a hostage in India.
Yeah, and this is an ally of the United States, Jordan. You do a lot of work in India. Go ahead.
It's a very diplomatic, a bureaucratic country where the lines are long.
You said complicated legal system.
It's a very complicated system, and especially for a foreigner. And once you get caught up in it, be it complicated. I'm excited that we were able to figure out at the ACLJ, working with the State Department, getting him out of prison in 6 days. Like, nothing happens there in 6 days. And this is nothing nasty about India. It's just a growing, expanding country that's trying to deal with its population. Its bureaucracy is huge. The paperwork amount is huge. So that is a big victory. Don't underscore that too much. I mean, it's a big victory to get that done very quickly in Indian terms, because I would tell you, things take a long time there bureaucratically. It is highly complicated. The documentation that you need, even if you've been traveling there a long time, made a mini trips there before. My wife has a nonprofit that works in India. So we've had to go through all these steps about how to set up all these.
You're the one who said it in our pre-briefing. You said a complicated legal system. So, Andy, it's supposed to be based on English common law.
Yes.
But it's become it's a bureaucratic nightmare.
This is the inheritance of the Raj, I think. This is what the British left them in 1947 when they gained independence, and it hasn't gotten any easier to get through the red tape in India than it was when the British were running it as an independent colony.
No, because, I mean, common law and this unwritten law, when you have 1.4 billion people in your country, doesn't really work real clearly. I mean, it's because the law is not ever clear. And so I don't think it's like the Indian government that's about this pastor. I think it's some bureaucrat that decided to take the harshest action against Impossible. But what we also know, CC, is that the customs officer in this situation is recommending that he be given back his passport and allowed to leave.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that he actually, the customs officer in New Delhi, which is the one that actually then ordered his arrest in Bagdogra, the customs officer cleared him and said he was free to go, and then called ahead to Bagdogra to be arrested as he stepped off the plane.
So he was being set up?
Yes.
Okay. So it was a setup. Okay. Now, so the State Department is involved?
Yes.
I will tell you that I met with the vice president. He is involved. His office is involved. The president's aware. People are aware. Here's job one. He's out. He's got health issues, we know.
Yes.
And the stress on your life is, and your body and your mental state and everything else, physical, emotional, spiritual, everything else here is dramatic because you're in a country where you are not from with people that you don't know that well. And he's not free to move around the city.
He is not free. No. And he had
a court hearing. Jail, which is a good thing.
That
I want to say that.
Thing.
So it's kind of job one, keep him alive. Job two, get him out of jail. Job three, and that's not really, it's all job one. Get him out of the country and get him back to the United States. So, Than, we got 50 seconds left here. Very quick, 30 minutes today. But a good progress, at least on that case.
Very good progress. Two things very quickly. It certainly helps that this administration, unlike previous administrations, Jay, don't put these issues on the back burner. That helps. Also, Tennessee senators involved and will continue to be.
Yeah, that's very helpful as well. I want to thank our Tennessee senators, U.S. senators, for that help. All right, we're taking a break. We're here for another 30 minutes. You know how to get us. ACLJ.org, Periscope, Twitter, Facebook, multiple social media platforms, and radio stations around the country. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. We come back more on the impeachment inquiry. I'm going to give you some analysis on what's happened on this whole thing. It can be kind of a run through of where I think we are. Again, 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. Support the work of the ACLJ. Do that at ACLJ.org.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, ACLJ.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
I always try to jump into the beginning of the broadcast before the open is done. All right, so we're hoping to get our friend Lindsey Graham, Senator Graham, in on radio this week because he's introducing a resolution in the Senate condemning what the House impeachment inquiry has become, which is a mockery, a violation of due process. Let me play for you what Senator Graham said. Take a listen.
This resolution puts the Senate on record condemning the House for the future of the presidency. We cannot allow future presidents and this president to be impeached based on an inquiry in the House that's never been voted upon, that does not allow the president to confront the witnesses against him, call witnesses on his behalf, and cross-examine people who are accusing him of misdeeds.
And here's their bad direct mail piece, that's what I call it, on this is what Nancy Pelosi is sending out as her official statement on why the president should be impeached. I'm not kidding you. This is it. This is a four-page. Can I show them the inside of this? This is what it looks like. So our radio audience, I'm holding three pieces of paper.
It's like tin fonts, lots of bolding, lots of large fonts.
It's like a piece of direct mail we wouldn't approve.
How many pages do you think that would fit on if they didn't use font size 24 and 28?
A page and a half.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't mind a large font these days. As older I get, I like a large font. But this is okay. But this is a little bit ridiculous. Now, let me take it to the next step.
The cover page also counts as page one.
Yeah, that's page one of the
four-page
document. And page
four is not a full page. It's not a full page.
No, it's a three quarters. All right, so let me give you what's happened. So let's start from the beginning. It was Russia collusion. Adam Schiff had evidence of collusion laying right on the front of him. Except Robert Mueller with, you know, $30 million and 40 staff and 18 FBI agents or more found no collusion. And then it was, aha, obstruction. Except even Robert Mueller, in his contorted view of how you come up with an obstruction theory, couldn't come up with obstruction, and the Justice Department said no obstruction. Then it was, they tried to do one more witness. They put up Bob Mueller. That didn't work out so good for them. So then it's no Bob Mueller. Then Jerry Nadler says, I'm going to call Corey Lewandowski. That did not work out well. And then you don't hear, where's Robert Mueller, by the way? Where's the Mueller report? Does anybody know? Okay, right. Still a bestseller, I guess. Next. Then it's a quid pro quo on a Ukraine conversation that the president of the United States has with the president of Ukraine. Except they released a transcript and there's no quid pro quo. But don't worry, they have a whistleblower who Adam Schiff didn't speak to. Except Adam Schiff did speak to. He just forgot to say that. Or actually, he said the opposite. He said, no, I'm Steph and I. In fact, do we have that? It's one of my favorites of all time. Do we have his? I'll just paraphrase it for you. He just said, you know, I would like to speak to the whistleblower, but I'm sure they're talking with lawyers to figure out how they should proceed, which he knew, of course, because he actually had spoken and his staff had spoken to the whistleblower. But then he says, don't worry, we don't need the whistleblower anymore. Why is that? Well, because the inspector general, even in his report, evidently has said, maybe some political animus, like this whistleblower may have worked for Joe Biden. A little political animus. So then we don't need whistleblower number one, but don't worry because there's whistleblower number two. And the whistleblower number two has the same law firm, except whistleblower number two has never filed anything, and so far there is no whistleblower two. But don't worry, we don't need a whistleblower. Because how do you try a president for impeachment on anonymous? You don't. But then you just deny due process. So you have hearings, except nobody can really participate, and the president's lawyers and the White House counsel, you don't get to ask any questions. Not only you don't get questions, you don't even get to see the testimony. But don't worry, Adam Schiff comes out and gives little tidbits, very troubling, very concerning, very troubling. It's a charade. This is a joke. But what they're doing to the office of the presidency is irresponsible on our under our constitutional republic. And that's why what Senator Graham is proposing is exactly right. A resolution condemning the House for this fake proceeding. Why will they not call for a vote? We'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ. We just had on last segment, last half hour, those cases, one in China, another case in India. Your support for the work of the ACLJ allows our lawyers to engage these issues around the globe. So we encourage you to do that. We also want to talk to you. We're going to get your comments in on Facebook and Periscope, but also give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Pam has been holding for 30 minutes. We're going to get to her. She's going to get a couple of books. But we've opened some lines up, 1-800-684-3110. What is your reaction to what's going on in Washington right now? Back with more in a moment.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Do that song, and I think it was the right. You're talking about the song that's perfect, played at the end. I mean, I love that tune, and we did good. Ben did a good job on that tune. All right, so let's do this. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's take Pam's call. She has been holding. We're gonna give your Jordan's book, we're gonna give her my book, we're gonna sign them. You've been holding a long time, Pam.
Pam, welcome to JCQ Live. You're on the air.
Not a problem. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I worked as a legal analyst for many years, and I have what we would call it a compound question. How are the Democrats allowed to ignore the reciprocity required by discovery rules of civil procedure? And two, do you think that ultimately denying the president the due process, will this wind up in the Supreme Court?
Well, so here's the thing. Look, no options off the table on any of this as far as legal action goes. I mean, everything's being considered. The White House counsel said a very compelling letter, Andy, to the – I mean, I thought very, very compelling. And it's a great question, Pam. Very compelling letter to the House setting forth the constitutional violations that are there.
And it was totally ignored. It was totally ignored. Pat Cipollone wrote an excellent, absolutely excellent textbook precise letter with respect to the rights – that the president has an impeachment proceeding, and Schiff and the rest of the House members, Pelosi and so, and the rest of the group over there who are determined to turn the clock back to the time of Henry VIII and to make political decisions based upon accusations where you hide your accuser behind the screen. I mean, these are the kinds of things that really are repugnant. I understand, Jay, that impeachment is a political process. I understand that, but that does not mean that due process is excluded. Politics does not exclude the obligation of the accusing party, and we would have this same right in the traffic court of the city of Atlanta. We ought to have it in the Congress of the United States to confront your accuser, to make the to have the right to question your accuser, to find out where the information came from. That is not being done.
By the way, you mentioned Henry VIII. Herman Hermits had a great hit. It was called "I'm Henry VIII, I Am." I think we're going to play that. I don't know if we can get it done this quickly, but our team's really good. Find old Henry VIII, I Am. I like Herman's Hermits. And maybe we'll play that as a bumper coming back since Andy gives us a English reference.
Either that or Schubert's Ninth Symphony.
Let's go with Henry the. Let's go with Herman's Hermits. I think would be more appropriate. So this is okay. So the political question here is this, and then I got a policy question. I got lots of questions. So I want to go to Jordan Than first, and then I got one for you, Harry. The policy question, by the way, I want you to think about this: is I say no options are off the table on this, right? You look as this proceeding goes forward.
Absolutely.
So, but there is the political question doctrine. So that comes into play in a lot of this. And we'll explain what all that is in a minute. But let's talk about the politics of it right now. Clearly to me, the process is void, ab initio. Void on its face, the way they're doing this. Void ab initio. Void on its face. It's ridiculous. Violation of due process on a whole host of levels. Politically, how is it doing in the body politic for both sides here?
Okay, so I'd say look at the stock market. It's not affecting that. So the investors aren't taking this as a serious impeachment because there's no actual impeachment inquiry that's been voted on by the House. I think voters are sick and tired of all of this, of trying to just take out Donald Trump through the non-electoral process. Even those that don't like him think, hey, we have an election. We elect our leaders. If you're not going to be fair and transparent, if you start off your impeachment with lying, which is what Adam Schiff did, Adam Schiff should resign from Congress. I think a lot of people should. I don't think he should be censured. I think he should be gone because he started an impeachment, which is the highest level, most serious action that Congress can take is by changing the outcome of a duly elected commander in chief, the most powerful leader in the world. And Adam Schiff started it off with a lie about his contact with a whistleblower. We don't know. Even know if they exist, because he says that they don't matter anymore, even. He lied about the transcript. He made up his own transcript. He should resign from Congress, and this should be put to rest. Because if Adam Schiff and Pelosi keep pushing this on people, I think it's because of what Than said. The Democrat presidential candidates are so weak, are so bad, that they think this is their only Hail Mary, is that they make the American people feel like the president is somehow a criminal.
So, Than, you just put in the chat that every Republican member of the Intelligence Committee has called for chairmanship to leave the chairmanship.
Every single Republican member of his committee signed a letter, put their name on a letter calling for him to step down, Jay. And even though this, you know, at sometimes people think this is very partisan, that's a very unusual move for Washington, D.C., for a member of a committee to call for the chairman to step down.
Not recuse.
Step down from the chairmanship altogether.
All right, so New York Times headline, anxious Democratic establishment asks, is there anybody else? Washington Post headline, Democrats see weak spots in their own 2020 prospects. Now, so there's a political calculation with all of this. So I say no options are off the table, legally speaking. There is the political question doctrine of law, which is basically if the House, I mean, there's the Constitution says, by the way, the House has the authority to impeach, not a committee, not a whatever they're calling this inquiry. But, Harry, the courts getting in raises a whole different issue.
Absolutely. And typically when the Supreme Court decides that there is a political question, the Supreme Court typically is somewhat reluctant to enter the forum. And it's a way, in some respects, of dodging a conflict, if you will, between the executive branch and the legislative branch. On the other hand, in this particular case, one can clearly argue that the president has clear and unmistakable due process rights, which have been formally violated by the House of Representatives. That's number one. Number two, the House of Representatives has not actually voted to launch an investigation.
Right.
And number three, that suggests that the House lacks the power, at least potentially, to compel witnesses and to subpoena documents. So this entire process is flawed. And lastly, let me point out that the failure to comply with procedures outlined by the Constitution not only threaten future presidents, but they also threaten future judges and other officials who are subject to impeachment by the House of Representatives.
Than raises another point, and that is, and this is interesting too, and that is that the Speaker, I'll let Than address this, but the Speaker doesn't even have to be a member of the House to be the Speaker. So how can that individual possibly have unilateral authority to open up an inquiry? And Than, that is a great point.
this proceeding, Jay, is impeachment by unilateral action of the Speaker of the House. And Harry's exactly right to point out that the House did not vote. The full House has that authority. But, Jay, we've talked about this before in other contexts. The House can elect a Speaker that is not a sitting member of the House. So how can that position open an impeachment inquiry? The constitutional answer is open and shut, Jay. He or she simply cannot.
Look, I think there's going to be several cases that end up in the Supreme Court of the United States from this. One you talked about the other day, which is this nonsense going in New York with Cy Vance. There was an argument in the Second Circuit today. My colleague Will Consovoy handled this. That case, I do think, and I think the Second Circuit acknowledged in their arguments today that they know this is going to the Supreme Court. This is going to it's a big case on separation of powers and supremacy clause and abstention doctrine. I won't get into the details on that one yet, but it's a very, very important case. But Andy, I look at when I keep saying no options are off the table for the president as we evaluate the legal situation here. You can't take options off the table because, as Harry said, there are exceptions to the political doctrine, political question doctrine.
Well, the political question doctrine, I think, applies. As we said, impeachment is a political process to be initiated by the House of Representatives and not by the fiat of a person who presumes to be simply the Speaker. Why don't you take a vote? Well, I can tell you why. You don't have the votes. That's why. Because the districts that the president carried, those representatives want to be reelected, and they're not going to vote for an impeachment inquiry, a formal impeachment proceeding to be instituted by virtue of the fact that they'd be defeated when they're reelected. She doesn't have Nancy Pelosi may be a lot of things, but she's not stupid.
She can count votes. Yep.
And she knows she doesn't have the votes.
She may be past her time, though. I don't think she's stupid, but I think she's past her time. She's past her party's time. She's out of touch with her party, which is why you end up with these four-page ridiculous documents. I mean,
grade B,
she should be embarrassed by that. I mean,
well, it is embarrassing.
She's the Speaker of the House.
The country should not be.
If you're going to impeach a president, come on. I mean, put a real document together. You got enough staff if you're Speaker of the House to do that. Even if we don't agree with that, I mean, she's becoming an embarrassment. She doesn't know if it's about Russia or about Ukraine. She's got Adam Schiff in there, who, as Stan said, it's unprecedented that every Republican is not just saying he should recuse himself, but literally should leave the chairmanship of the House Intelligence Committee because he's abused his role of having. I mean, you think Adam Schiff should have access to classified information? I don't think so because he lies about it. And he may have made up a whistleblower. We know he lied about meeting with this whistleblower if they existed. We know, and it appears that his staff and the attorneys that were assisting this whistleblower wrote that complaint after meeting with four other people. And now they're anonymous. And by the way, they're not necessary for impeaching the president.
Yeah. So we're gonna do it on what? The most recent testimony based on information he thought he heard from another ambassador. Okay. We got coming to the last segment. We'll take your calls. Phone lines are pretty busy. We got a couple open for you. 800-684-3110. Get your questions in via Facebook, Periscope, Twitter, other ways as well. 1-800-684-3110. Back with more in a moment.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
So Will says, I can't play Herman's Hermits because, you know, you don't want to get Facebook and all angry and play the copyrighted material. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get the band. Our band will do a version of that, I think, or something close to it. Because I think it's too, I liked Andy's reference to Henry VIII there on the way they're doing these star chambers or whatever you want to call it. I don't know if it's fair to a star chamber to call them what this is. I mean,
they had more due process in the 16th century than they do now.
All right, so let's, another line note. Okay, let's take calls. We got them coming in, 800-684-3110. Let's go right to them. Where were they called?
Yeah, Karen in Georgia. Good question on line four. Karen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm so glad I discovered you guys about a year ago.
Oh, great.
My question was, if Lindsey Graham does this resolution,
yep,
what will happen? Like, will it stop the charade, or will it ensure the Senate can easily dismiss this if it goes that far? Or will it just be something that the media will mock and it won't go anywhere?
No, look, if the Senate they mock it. I mean, how do you mock it? If the United States Senate passes a resolution saying that the House of Representatives are violating constitutional norms, due process, I don't think they can mock it. They can say, well, it's a political move. But so is the entire charade going on in the House. So, look, I think there's several ways in which this could go. If they actually got to an impeachment trial, which I don't think would be in the Senate, I don't think that's going to happen. But if they did, yeah, sure, you would make a motion to dismiss, and if you have those senators and they don't change their process, which they're not, it certainly sets up, I think constitutionally sets it up very well, but I think politically sets it up well as
here's
also.
Here's what it does, two things. One, if there is an actual, if the House votes to impeach President Trump and they actually have the votes to do that with the Democrats, what this resolution does, if it was to pass, it would commit Republicans to immediately just dismissing the impeachment without a trial.
You filed a motion to dismiss. They did that in the Clinton one. It didn't pass, but almost did in some of them.
So, it's an
action
you can
actually file a motion to dismiss that happened. That's historically
depressing. No, so that's one reason. So if there is an actual impeachment, you get a majority of Republicans to say that they will vote to dismiss this without a trial. Second, if there is never an impeachment and they're just trying to hang this over the president's head, which I think is kind of more likely right now, to politically damage the president and then do what you said, Dad, come January, we've done our investigations, we all got to go campaign now. The American people, we've given you the information, we'll keep talking about it. You get to decide if President Trump should remain in office. Well, this resolution would be important because what it would say is it didn't matter whatever the House was ever going to do on this. The Senate was never even going to hold a trial. They were going to dismiss
because it was a fraud
all
from the
charges.
Beginning.
Right.
Okay, here's what
so
Lindsey Graham actually said. Yeah, so Lindsey Graham said this yesterday on our friend Sean Hannity's broadcast.
This is un-American at its core. What the House of Representatives is doing is a process of political revenge. It is alien to American due process. It should be dismissed quickly in the United States Senate. So what would happen if they impeach the president based on this closed door, behind the scenes, lack of due process inquiry, we should dismiss it without a trial because it's illegitimate on its face. And if it is allowed to stand, there's no protection for future presidents.
So, Lindsey's absolutely 100% correct.
Very well said. I mean, very well articulated, as he is wont to do. If you've got an accusation, an indictment, okay, that is defective because the process of getting it before the grand jury and having it returned, then in court, and I'm doing an analogy, you can move to dismiss that indictment as having been improperly and illegally brought.
Right.
So the same principle applies here. If the process of getting an impeachment articles against the president have been illegally instituted without due process in one chamber of the Congress, then there is nothing that prevents a motion to dismiss because of improper foundation in the Senate. And that's exactly what the Chief Justice should do if a motion is made.
All right, let's go right back to the phones, 800-684-3110.
Becca in Georgia, line three. Becca, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Becca.
Hello, Jay.
Hey.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
My question to you is kind of multifaceted.
Okay.
We keep hearing, I'm just a normie patriot.
Yep.
Supported Donald Trump since he came down that escalator. And I keep hearing from all the politicians, all the senators, all the congressmen, shoulda, woulda, coulda, where's our law and order nation in this? And how is there some specific law that can be quoted that can stop this circus?
Well, it's not. Go ahead and finish, so please.
Because we patriots are really getting tired of hearing shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Yeah, okay, so here's what happens. I mean, Andy laid it out. I'm going to go to Harry on this because here's what would happen. This is how I would do it. First of all, again, no options off the table because I think the process is unconstitutional. That's being put in place here. This is not an impeachment process. Okay, this is an inquiry. They're making this up. This is not the way it works. They will not take the vote. So what does that tell you? It tells you a couple things. It tells me that it's unconstitutional. It in that context, violates due process. And Harry, then the question is, how do we, because what Becca's saying, is there like one law you could apply to stop it? It doesn't really work that way. But if it were to go to the Senate, this is what Lindsey Graham's trying to say. If it goes to the Senate, I would argue, and others on our team would argue, White House counsel would argue, a motion to dismiss would be appropriate because of due process violations. So it's very similar to the legal arguments you would make in a court, but you would be doing, the jury here is the Senate.
Absolutely. And so I think the United States Senate should look long and hard at what the U.S. House of Representatives has done. First, Nancy Pelosi has essentially appointed herself Empress of the United States, and so she has launched an inquiry without facts. And so this investigation, if we can call it that, is simply a sham. And so the House Democrats are acting in an arbitrary and capricious manner, basically pulling a page, as Andy correctly points out of Henry VIII's handbook. And they're also equally acting like the Jacobins during the French Revolution. And so all of this recalls something that Andy knows well. Darkness at Noon, which is Arthur Koestler's book, which basically undermines the show trials during the communist takeover of Russia. So there are no facts. There's no evidence. Let's make it up as we go. And I think Senator Lindsey Graham is absolutely correct. It's simply Democratic revenge on the election of this president.
It does show you that history, understanding history matters because you do repeat it. It does repeat itself. Yep. If you forget history, if you don't teach it, it repeats itself anyways. So you've got to learn from those things, and that we're giving you get a trip down memory lane here. Let's grab this last call, Jordan.
Yeah, Beth in North Carolina, line two.
Hey, Beth.
Final call of the day. You're on the air.
Hey, Beth, go ahead.
Hey, I've called a couple times, but I really, really appreciate everything y'all do. It's amazing, and I didn't know a whole lot about you, but I listen to you very often.
Great.
So thank you for your very hard work.
Where are you listening from, Beth, in North Carolina?
The Raleigh area.
Yeah, yep, great station.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes, and anyway, this is, I heard Lindsey Graham last night, and
yes.
I'm a little upset with him. I have been, only from the standpoint of he's been promising to have hearings for quite some time.
Well,
but my question, let me just say this, though. My specific question is about the process with this resolution, because it's my understanding that he wants to bring this resolution, yet the procedure, the way it works is that a single senator to bring a resolution to the
Here's
Senate
it. We're running out of time. Here's what happened, Beth. He would take it through the Judiciary Committee, which he chairs, right? And that's how he would get it passed. So that you take it through the committee, that gets it to the floor of the United States Senate. Let me also say this. Lindsey Graham has been a stalwart here. He's a constitutionalist. He gets it. He's being cautious on proceedings because he knows what's going on in the House. He's being strategic, and I think it's really smart the way he's handling it. That does it for the broadcast today, folks. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.